is The Rich Eisen Show.
Yeah.
With guest host, Susie Schuster.
Game time, little lady, put your dukes up. Flex on them, go ahead, make them choose.
Live from The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Susie, you're 10 times better than your husband.
Earlier on the show, Sports Illustrated senior writer Greg Bishop. Coming up, former NFL Network host Kara Henderson-Snead. Basketball Hall of Famer Shaquille O'Neal. Plus, former Raiders CEO Amy Trask. And now, it's Susie Schuster.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to this edition of The Rich Eisen Show. Susie Schuster in for my husband, Rich Eisen, who is on hole 7 at this point, I think, in Kona. He's really having a rough one as we're sitting here
10 over
in El Segundo. Over, I mean.
Hole 7 or Mai Tai 7?
Mai Tai 8.
Oh,
I'm just saying.
I think his
breakfast was liquid this morning. Yeah, he's having a good time. He needed a break. It's been a long slough. It's been a long go of it, and he needed a break. And here on Peacock, we're showing you the sunset that he shared with me, not to be shared with all of you, but I did anyway because I'm an overshare. Because that's who I am. I'm just a big overshare. Chris Brockman, is your
here
mic on? Holy
go.
Go. Hold on. Wait for it.
Hello.
Are we still on air? Are we on the air?
What's that noise? I don't know what that noise is.
Who's up first?
Kara, I know you're not a big fan of libation. We like to drink here on the Rich Eisen Show when I sit in for Rich because it makes the show go better.
Well, I mean, you guys have had a bar here forever, and I don't know if you even uses it, right?
It was fake iced tea, Kara.
We're just doing a lady who lunch, 3 martinis lunch. It's just at 10 in the morning.
Yeah,
right?
Because when I think of ladies to lunch, I think that we are definitely those two.
Oh,
or
yeah.
No, that's TJ and Chris.
Yeah.
Hey now.
Hello.
Also, to have two women on our radio television show at the same time is like, this is, I feel
is this
like
allowed?
This, I don't think so. They might give us 30-second intervals.
Well, my voice has gotten so low now, so maybe people will be confused.
your voice is, it's down
horse?
There.
Horse?
Yeah.
It's horse?
How much orange juice you want in here? Little splash?
Not so much.
Parts,
we'll just go, champagne. You know, a little splash of juice.
One part OJ,
yeah,
six parts?
We can't let the body be, you know, deprived of alcohol for 5 minutes this week.
You know, also TJ brought in some pasteurized juice. I said, not for Kara Henderson-Snead. It's fresh squeeze.
Well, you could have told me that when I was at Rouse last night, too. I said,
I mean, just straight out. But I didn't. I think that was right after the Ambien took hold, so God knows that I'm lucky to be here this morning. Thank you so much,
Chris. By the way, he makes a phenomenal Brockman.
That's nice.
You could be a bartender if you need this in another career.
Straight from coffee to alcohol. This is the way this week's
Brockman
gone.
Brockman makes a good mimosa.
Cheers, my friend.
Congratulations.
Oh, yeah, we have to actually cheers.
You.
Hold on.
Because we like eye contact. There we go. Cheers. Congratulations
cheers,
on
thank
that.
You.
Oh, I don't know. On the Super Bowl win.
Wow. I mean, it's a whirlwind. As you would imagine. Oh, yeah. A little bit. Mm. Matches
bad
my
luck
hat.
Not to take the sip.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, now we've
now
returned
we've
the body
okay
to its normal
state.
Getting a little shaky with that. It's been a long week for you, Kara Henderson.
No, it's been amazing. You know, you always wonder when you're a reporter, you know, how does it feel? How does it feel for people when they actually achieve this thing that they've been, you know, thinking about their entire lives? And, you know, I mean, when you're on the field after the Super Bowl, I got the chance at NFL Network to cover so many of them. And the worst interviews are the interviews that you get on the field right after the Super Bowl, because people are just shell-shocked. They're shell-shocked. They cannot process that they are in one of the great moments of their lives, that they've actually gotten to the top of the mountain. And it's awesome, and the visuals are amazing, but the interviews are terrible, right?
Terrible.
And so I've always wondered, like, what does that feel like? And obviously, I'm just married into it. I'm not the one that did anything per se, but it's a really interesting thing. It just kind of washes over you, and it just gets better and better and better as you continue to process, and you allow yourself to go through, you know, a period of time. And we've all seen, I'm sure, you know, videos of Aaron Donald. And to me, you know, having known him from when we drafted him to now, it's just like this weight has been lifted off of him, and he is just fully, like, complete. And he's got a beautiful family, and he looks great with his shirt off, as we've all seen.
Oh my God.
I mean, come on. And it was hilarious. And we went to the parade the other day, which, by the way, that was his wife, Erica, who was standing by him, which is really interesting. So, her dad is, you know, he was a coach in the league forever. So Aaron Donald's just got this amazing, amazing life. And when I got to Cal Lutheran, which is where the Rams facility is, the other day when we were going to take the buses to go then be a part of the parade, and Aaron Donald already had his shirt off at 8 a.m., I'm like, we about to get lit. This is going to be so much fun. And it was everything, but you just see that it just washes over people. I was joking. I mean, a lot of people were talking about, you know, Les wearing the shirt with his face on it the other day that we had given him that had the meme on it that people have talked about. I was joking with him this morning that I'm actually wearing a one with his face on it today because it's literally, for those listening on the radio, I've just got a big smiley face sweatshirt on. And he has not, I mean, he's got this like Cheshire Cat kind of grin that he's had all week long. And it is, it's just this like relief. Part of it is, I think, when you lose one and you know how awful it is and you have to wait, like the thing about the season is, you know, for good or for bad, like you have to like get over it, whether it's a win or a loss, and you got to go play another game. But now when you don't have another game to play until September, and so you get to like rest on your laurels and you won the last game, it's amazing. You don't want to do that when you lose and you have to sit there with that loss for so long. So you just felt like everybody's just got this sense of completeness, which is fantastic. That's a long answer.
It's a long answer, but there are so many more questions. Like, we are taught as journalists to never ask the question, how does it feel? And you brought that up, that you're now experiencing how it feels. But we are taught professionally, you never ask that question because it's a lame question. It's not specific. You're not garnering the right answer. But now that you've been able to experience on both sides, how do you resolve it? I mean, what is it like? What's it like? Take us there.
It's really interesting to try to, you know, if you go into journalism, if you're a reporter, like it's because you love to observe people and you love to be in situations where you can see them going through things and really take it in. And so to experience it for myself as well, I'm constantly like, you know, vacillating between being the reporter who's down on the field in the middle of it and just, you know, wanting to document it and think through a reporter's lens, but then also experience it for yourself. And it's been really fun that way. You know, I tell people all the time, it's a blessing and a curse that I did what I did for as long as I did, because when Les comes home, he gets a press conference every night and I'm not letting him off the hook, right? Which I'm sure a lot of nights he's like, can we just, like, last question, like genuinely, he'll be like, enough. But it also means that I can help, you know, in probably some different ways than other people who hadn't been in it. But you do, you know, when you see the people that you love, and let's be clear about this team, I know it's the story and I know it's people, what people have been talking about, and it comes across somewhat as a platitude, but the culture of this team, and I know I'm a homer, is unlike any other team I've ever been around. It does have shades of what the Patriots were like when I used to cover them, where all of a sudden, this locker room full of these just great players took over and created a culture that became the Patriot way. And we saw how that worked out pretty well, right? And that is what you've started to see with this team. This was the season where the players are the ones that took over and really started taking some of the mantle so that Sean didn't have to be everything all the time, because he is such a big cult of personality, a big part of this team and why we won this game, But the players kind of took a lot of that on this year. And it helps when you have guys like Von Miller who come in and they have experienced this before. And he was the one down the stretch, and a lot of you guys out there, sports fans, have read about it, where Von really challenged Aaron Donald to be more vocal, to be that vocal leader, because everybody looks over to Aaron and everybody wanted to win this for him. But when you bring a guy like Von in who's experienced it and says, hey, like, this is what it takes to for us to win, and I can promise you it's addictive. Once you get there, you're not going to want to, you know, give it up. You're not going to want to give the trophy up. So our culture, and I mean from our training staff, through our personnel department, through our front office business people, it is the most amazing group of people that every single one of them, when you talk to them after the game, said, you know what? I want to win for that person. I'm so happy for you. I'm so happy for you. And it was, you know, I was saying to someone, I said, we're the good guys. Like, we really like came across that way. And that's the way it feels when you're a part of it. Great family men, great fathers. It's just been the pleasure of my life to be around this group of people.
Wow. Wow. That's incredible. Kara Henderson Sneed in on the Rich Eisen Show. Susie Schuster in for my husband, Rich. What don't we know? The best part of having you here is that you get to peel back the curtain for us.
Yes.
And you also know what we want to see.
Right.
Because you've been on the flip side. So what don't we know?
Golly. I mean, where do you want me to start? Just give me any person and I can tell you a story. But here's a good one that really resonated with me. Obviously, Odell has such a big personality, and he is one of the great characters in our league. And I've seen it even with our kids. Like, he is just the one they want to look at, be close to. And man, we just got to see just how hard he worked and, you know, so many different parts of him, you know, down the stretch, and what a big part he was of this team. And you see, if you're watching on TV, you see a picture of Odell with Matthew Stafford, and he's bawling his eyes out, right? And so when he went down in that game, and all of us as football fans could see that he was on his way to potentially having
MVP.
An MVP game. He was the one who was able to obviously make it so that they couldn't just focus on Cooper Kupp. And he was such a big part of what we were able to accomplish down the stretch, which was really a credit to him. I mean, to learn our playbook and be able to operate in our system, I mean, it's calculus. Like, you have got to really be dialed in. And he made sure he was. So when he went down, I saw a look on Sean's face, which, when you know Sean, he's very good at kind of masking, you know, what's going on, but you could just see that he was, you know, devastated. And it's a look I hadn't seen since, you know, Cooper Kupp went down in a game a couple years ago. So Les always goes down into the locker room at halftime just to kind of get the vibe, listen what's going on, what adjustments are being made. And he decided, because obviously Odell was devastated. I mean, he is such an emotional. And as his mom said, by the way, his mom is just an absolute badass. She is, you know, track champion from LSU. Cool, cool woman. And she was saying to me the other day, she's like, he's just so passionate. And you feel it when you're around him. And he was devastated. I mean, to have had the journey he had, to have come, you know, all this way and to have it go the way it went. And Les just decided, you know what, I'm going to stay down in the locker room with him and just make sure he's okay. Obviously, he's not okay, but make sure he's doing okay and really encourage him to go back out. You said I encouraged him to go back out because he was such a big part of it. And his being there was going to be really helpful for everybody on the sidelines who was devastated for him. So Les stayed down in the locker room. And so he missed the beginning of the second half. So he missed the 75-yard pass and the turnover, and he gets back up, you know, into Stan Kroenke's suite where they're watching the game with his people, and they're trying to tell him about what happened, and he's like, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. It doesn't matter. We just have to, you know, move forward from here. But, you know, I think it says a lot about the way that this team operates. Like, people are in it for each other, And so Odell did go back out there on the field. And you know, we saw him throughout the second half, and you just felt so much for him. And even in the parade, he was on the same bus that we were. You could feel like he was, you know, just somewhat down at the beginning. But then as the day went on, when we're riding through the parade, I mean, people are like, I mean, he is someone that people are really jacked about seeing. So it was really cool. And by the time we got to the stage at the Coliseum, he had, you know, kind of turned that corner. But it was, you know, that was a cool thing to hear Les talk about. Like, you know, I needed him to know that he had to be out there, because we were not going to be, especially with the timing of the Robert Woods injury, we were not going to be down, you know, in the Super Bowl if we didn't have Odell to kind of step into that role. Sorry, my voice is, let me take a little more drink here.
Have a little
here.
Champs. Yeah. That might help you out. You don't want to be parched. Cheers.
It's a nice one.
Tell me, I brought the good stuff for you. I wasn't going to bring any crap.
It's delightful.
You know, BevMo crap for you. I brought the real deal. We've got a little Bovkley code. Do you open the mums? Yeah.
No, I opened the mums first. We got Vuv for the, you know, closer.
A little bit of the bubbly.
When we talk parade, we can go Vuv. Okay. You mentioned Les Snead. I don't know if you know him or not. He's your husband. You mentioned him. And when you think about building a team, right? And here you are at the Super Bowl, and yet you choose to start the third quarter with your injured player, and that he would lose the ability to watch so much of it in the moment to be with a player, I think speaks volumes about who he is as a person, the architect of the team, the decision maker that he is. It's overwhelming to think about. I'm wondering what might be, in your opinion, the biggest misnomer about Les that you hear out there.
Oh, well, I think, you know, Greg Bishop was on earlier, who was the writer for Sports Illustrated, who wrote the amazing article that was the story, you know, of how the team got here. And Greg's awesome, because he was with us, and, you know, I was kind of his shadow writer when we were doing the draft out of our bunk room in our house during COVID, which was hilarious. But I think he said it well, that people have a tendency to think, because it's the lazy narrative of the all in and then we mortgaging our, you know, it's if you know Les, he is one of the most process driven, methodical people that you can meet, and process is everything to him. You know, he says it all the time, and I'm not sure who said it originally, but you've got to surrender, you know, and probably is John Wooden or someone, you've got to surrender the results to the process. And that's what they did. And this was a methodical, I mean, you know, I've been here for 10 years with him going through this build. And when you think about it, you know, it's like, you know, Aaron Donald came in towards the beginning. Johnny Hecker was the first year. I was telling him that the other day. He was our, you know, our day one guy. Right. Like he's the one, last of the Mohicans in that way, like last of the people that was on that first team. But it is such a methodical build. And so this concept that he's, you know, this, you know, poker player in Vegas that's just throwing chips around is not true at all. I mean, we in the beginning, we had too many first round picks. Right. Like we had two first round picks for the first couple of years because he had made that big RG3 trade right off the jump. So what he does is really see where we are in our timeline and where you are in the build. And so when he made these moves, whether it was for Matthew Stafford, which was incredible, obviously, or Jalen Ramsey or Von Miller or Odell, it's because he knows, like, we're in this particular window where if we can get these particular pieces and add them to what we already have, then we've got something really special. And they're known commodities. You knew what you were going to get with Jalen Ramsey. You knew what you were going to get with Von Miller. We've done enough research to know what we were going to get with Odell and how passionate he is about football. And when people come into our building, they know that you can, like, we're not going to micromanage all these different aspects of your life. We're going to be very, very focused around our football, but we're going to allow you to be you too. We're not going to say, hey, we want this aspect of you, but if you could leave this other part of you out, that'd be great. Like, that's not who we are. We pull people in and let them be who they are. And the first thing you need to know is that when you walk into our building, like the first things first, it's football. And so people can relax into that culture. So he and Sean have really, from the beginning, created that. And I think, yet again, the long-winded answer to your question is, don't think that he is a gambler. Do not think that he's someone that's just doing something and throwing chips around. That would be me. That's not him, right? Like, he's not that way at all. Even on the bus the other day, we were joking. Everybody was partying on the bus to go down. And Les is sitting in the front seat. And I'm like, what are you doing up there? Like, could you be less fun? And he's like,
I'm reading over the cap.com. Stop
I'm
it.
Like, I know. Come join the party. Andrew Whitworth was doing the playlist up front. And he's like, you know, I'm the principal. And sometimes, like, or the teacher. And the teacher needs to sit in the front of the bus when the kids go on the field trip, so they can have a fun time in the back. So I'm just going to sit up here.
I feel like that should have been like a weird Motley Crue video, whatever it was. Remember, like, Rock the Teacher, and suddenly the bus goes crazy and Les is up there.
That's basically what it was.
Well, I hope so.
It was, we were like, we sent the kids into the back, and, you know, what a special group of people. I mean, what an amazing group of people that they've assembled.
Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to go Parade. We're going to go Future. We're going to go even more behind the scenes, because I don't know about you, but I love hearing this. I love hearing what we don't get to see. I mean,
if people want to send in questions about what they want to know about, absolutely. Tee us up.
Yeah, call us right now, 844-204-RICH, if you got a Rams question for Carol. Let's do this.
Since she said tee it up.
Oh.
I was trying to help you. See, this is how we do it in radio. You just got to kind of work that ad right in.
And see, I really like how you do that. Speaking of teeing it up, Callaway Rogue people. Every golf equipment company claims to be longer off the tee, but Callaway's new Rogue ST driver is the only one built to completely bomb it. We've all bombed it before, haven't we? But that's just a whole different conversation. Okay, it's been speed-tuned to be Callaway's fastest, most stable driver ever. Every Rogue ST is engineered with a new tungsten speed cartridge, which gives you more off-speed on off-center hits and provides more forgiveness thanks to high MOI. But that's just the beginning, because Callaway has engineered a Rogue ST for every player. Most golfers will fit into the Max because of its incredible combination of distance and forgiveness. But there's also Max D, their dedicated draw model for players who need more shot shape correction. I believe I
would
fit
into the
Max D category. Do you play golf?
Oh, yeah. We played golf the day before the Super Bowl. It was great.
And?
My dad's really good, and my sister's really good, and I'm also playing golf.
So you need Max D, the dedicated draw model for players who need more shot shape correction. Now, if
shot
you need
shape correction.
Because who doesn't need more shot
tungsten,
shape?
Tungsten. More tungsten, yes. And shot more shape correction, please.
Everybody needs more tungsten in their life. Now, if you need something more low spin, there's Max LS, which gives you stronger trajectory with a more neutral ball flight.
That means, so you don't end up like Susie. Like Rich always says, Susie playing golf, it's like, ugh, after she hits a shot.
What did
she's
I do
like,
wrong?
Harumph! Turns and looks at him like,
harumph. It's his fault. Because you know what, I look at him like.
That's what he says all the time. Susie always looks at me like I did something wrong when she shanks a shot. So if you have this, you're not going to do that. You're going to have a more neutral ball flight.
Hey, Callaway, I'm right here. I need a set of clubs and we need to play. I do. I look at Rich like, what did I do? And he's like, that's like a window into our marriage, right?
Pretty much.
So for the true players out there, the Rogue SD Triple Diamond LS is the compact, low-spin head that the tour players love. Callaway has thought through every aspect of speed, so all you have to do, Kara, is go Rogue.
Hey, I've got Callaway clubs. They're amazing.
Find your Rogue SD driver at callawaygolf.com/go-rogue. More Kara Henderson-Snead when we come back.
Hey, folks. It's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep, because if I don't have one, just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Kara Henderson Sneed here on The Rich Eisen Show. Susie Schuster in for Rich Eisen. You talk about this chemistry of all these people together and how it's not artificial, how it's like a real deal chemistry. I think there's so much preconceived notion about who these guys are.
Right.
So help us understand what it's like behind the scenes with Andrew Whitworth and with Cooper Kupp and Eric Weddle and obviously Matthew Stafford.
So this is a great story. Greg Bishop actually alluded to it a little bit earlier, talking about, group of people at Nobu, right? So I get a call and it's the Tuesday after the NFC Championship game, and it's the players' day off, and it's really their last, day off. But they were like, you know what? We're going to take the day off because we don't need to get dialed in 10 days or however long before the Super Bowl. We're going to do that. You know, when we get dialed in, we're going to be dialed in. And so Melissa Whitworth, who is hilarious, like maybe one of my favorite people of all time, we're very close. She called me. She's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, what do you mean? I'm like, I'm driving to my kid to school. And she's like, meet us at Nobu at 5. And I'm like, okay. She's like, just trust me. Meet us at Nobu at 5. I'm like, okay. And she's like, and I've already told Les. And I told him he's coming. He doesn't have an option. Meet us at Nobu at 5. And I'm like, I'm in like LA, like, gear. I got my sweatshirt. And she's like, so are we. We've been out since 10 this morning. Meet us at Nobu at 5. Okay. So we show up at Nobu. And it was the Whitworths. And the Cups drove up right behind us, Cooper and his wife, Anna, who is amazing, and the Staffords and us. And so we the eight of us just sit down to have dinner at Nobu. And I, had the chance to cover Matthew Stafford a lot when I was a reporter. And so I'd met him, at his locker. So you know what that's like. You know you're only getting part of somebody. And I've heard, obviously, over the last year, all these amazing things about him. But because of COVID, I hadn't had the chance to really be around any of the players over the last year. And they were very good about keeping everybody separated. So this was the first time that I'd met his wife and got to go to a game with her. She's hilarious and awesome, but I'd never met him as just a person. And I sat there and I was talking to him about a variety of things. And I was like, I get it. He is the most laid back, easygoing, fun to be around, but just easy person I've ever met. And, so we're all sitting there and he looks at me and he goes, I'm really embarrassed. And I said, why? He's like, we went out this morning for breakfast. We didn't think we were just going to be hanging out all day. We thought we were just going to get a cup of coffee and a donut. And here we are sitting in the nicest restaurant, in Malibu. And he's like, and I'm in just a raggedy, hooded sweatshirt. And I was like, oh, honey.
Welcome
sweetie.
To Malibu.
Oh, sweetie.
Very cute.
Like, this is LA. Like, you've got to understand something. Like, if you can show up at Nobu and end up at the best table in the building for eight people, and you can have a hooded sweatshirt on, that's when you've gotten somewhere in LA. Because last we were there one night, and it may have been the night we were with you and Rich, and we look over and there's Bill Gates.
Yep.
And he's got a hoodie on. I said, Bill Gates had a hoodie on here. I think you're gonna be just fine. But that tells you something about him too. Like and you looked around and all the women at this table are very alpha. I mean, I'm probably the alpha light of the group. I mean, Anna is fierce. She's hilarious and awesome. She was a track star at Arkansas before she went back and went to help Cooper, knowing what he was going to be. Melissa Whitworth is a force of nature and so fun. Very Louisiana. She was Miss Louisiana. And she is would be right here with us having a cocktail. And Kelly Stafford, I mean, if you don't know about Kelly Stafford, you haven't been paying attention. And she is just, you know, amazing and fun and, you know, bold and just will give zero whatevers, you know, like she will come after you if she wants to. And so you've got these alpha women, and then you look around the table at the men, and they're just all these very kind of humble, low-key, competent, you know, confident guys. And I'm like, I get it. I get it. Does that make sense? It's like all these alpha women and all of these just like laid back, like, you know, guys. And it's a great mix.
I think you know this better than anyone. If you cover sports, and it really varies per sport, very much so in football, because it's a once a week game. And because of the nature of the teams, the women provide the ability for the guys to go out, do their practice, go on the road. It's very different than basketball or than baseball. I don't know as much about hockey. I mean, I've covered 5 hockey games in my life. But I know that for football, it's that basis of, it's oftentimes that group of women that provides that ability.
There's no doubt. And it's, you know, we went to Seattle for a game, and I went with Anna, Melissa, and Kelly, and it was the first time I had met Kelly. It's actually very funny. She told the story on her podcast. We were all flying up together, and, you know, when she came on the plane, she didn't realize who I was. And Matthew is mortified by this story because she had no idea. I mean, she just was coming in, you know, at the last second. She's got 3 young kids, so I'm sure she was, like all of us, like coming in on 2 wheels. And so she got on the plane, and we all start talking about, you know, football and the Rams. And I go to use the restroom, and she turns to Mel, and she goes, "Man, your friend knows a lot about the Rams." Right? I'm like talking about, well, you know, the second cornerback and the then, you know, the special teams guys. And she's like, I mean, she's really dialed in on the Rams. And she's like, that's Les's wife. And, you know, and she was mortified. It was funny. But you, when I went to a game with those guys, and we were sitting in the stands in Seattle, and that's when I was like, okay, I'm never going to do that again, because we're lucky that we got out of there without me throwing hands, right? Like, you just get real, like, you get emotional, and these are your people out there, and people are talking about them. I'm like, I don't need to do that again. But you saw them go through. I mean, it's one thing. I mean, yes, you know, it's my husband's built the team, blah, blah, blah. But when these are their people out there putting their bodies on the line, and I just got such a different appreciation for how stressful that is. And that's, I think, the difference in football. It's such a physical thing. So they have to be so many different things. They've got to be the CEO of Whitworth Incorporated. They've got to be the, you know, Kelly's a registered nurse. So I'm sure that has come into play many, many times. I mean, Matthew's the toughest player I've been around in recent years. And so you have to be so many different things, and it's so taxing physically, mentally, emotionally. So, you know, the women of the group really do play such a huge role in the success of a team.
We're going to start looking at behind the scenes photos from the parade.
Oh, good stuff.
And the question, of course, is what's it like when it becomes personal? Because you've covered these parades. It's so different when you're covering the parade. But when you care about it, I can't even imagine.
Well, you know what's fun? We were like, you know what? Like, there are parade rules, which are basically like there are no rules, right? Like, if you're going to be in a Super Bowl parade, like, any normal thing is just throw it out the window. So, you know, the meme that's been making its rounds of Les with the, you know, well, for lack of a better way of putting it, screw them picks thing, which people actually think he said, which of course he didn't say, right? There it is. So he actually decided he was going to wear that for the parade.
Yeah,
which
bold
is,
decisions. I know a guy named Rich Eisen who likes to wear.
Oh, that's what I was laughing earlier when I saw Rich wear the shirt with his own, you know, little avatar on it. But so not Les to wear, like, you know, Les well, like, so not like him to wear that. So that's what we were like, this is hilarious. You've got to do that. I mean, if you're ever going to wear that shirt, it's today.
Now's the day.
Right? It's parade rules. Like, you can wear that in the crowd. Obviously, he was doing it because he knew the crowd and the fans have been so into it. And of course, there, you know, there was a nice chant that had emanated along the way. And so it was really cool. And I know everybody wants to show pictures of a particular spot in a particular street and whatever, whatever. And there aren't that many fans. Well, the reason was when we started at the edge of USC, you know, there were fans, and then it was building and building and building as we went. And all the fans that were at the beginning of the parade, because it's slow enough, it wasn't like that great shot that they had of the Braves bus that went like 40 miles an hour past the fans. Yeah. Like, we were obviously going slowly. So all those people were running too. And they were, and so as you were going through the parade route, the noise started, I'm getting chills thinking about it. And then it just built into this kind of like deafening roar by the time you got towards the end that was just constant. And we're all looking at each other like, this is like, it's just such a like awesome experience. And you see these fans, and some of them you even recognize, whether it's from, you know, Twitter and communicating with them on Twitter, or you've seen them at games, or they're the big fans. And you can see, you know, you can pick certain people out of the crowd and kind of let them know that, like, you see them. And that's what I was saying to Les, like, oh, look at that guy. I told you about this guy. There he is. There's that guy. And you're specifically, and there's the, you know, we were on a college campus, so the kids are hanging off the balconies. It was so much fun. And, you know, the joy that you saw in the players to just be able to, you know, let the steam off. But then also, like, our bus, oh, and this is a great picture. This is Odell Cooper Van Jefferson, for those who are not watching, right? Like, these guys had such a good time together. But then also, like, all the personnel guys were on our bus, right? Like, these are the guys who are the scouts, who are the behind-the-scenes guys. And as one of our, you know, main logistics people was saying, they were like, oh, the personnel bus had a vibe. The personnel bus had a real vibe, and it was great. And this is Chris Shula, right? Like, this is the grandson of Don Shula, who's one of our linebackers coach, and he had a full cooler. Like, people were showing up at the facility with massive suitcases full of like champagne, and behind him, this is great. So behind him is Odell's mom with the backwards hat. That's Odell's girlfriend, who is going to, we were worried. This is funny.
She's very pregnant.
She's
too.
Very pregnant as well. Like, we were worried on the bus on the way there. They were on our bus. Andrew Whitworth and I were joking. I said, okay, let's YouTube how to deliver a baby. And if,
oh God.
And
if it does happen,
would be amazing.
If it does happen, here's what's going to happen. Andrew, you're the person, like, he's just got that, I've got this thing about him. You're delivering the baby. I said, Cooper's catching it. And and Kelly's going to be the nurse.
Yeah.
I'm just going to be there just to read the instructions or off of YouTube. But
well, you could call it. You could actually do that if you wanted.
I'm good with that. But like, no, Adele's about to have his baby soon too. So you see in all these pictures, just the mixture of people, right? And so it was pure joy. It was pure joy. And Aaron Donald, he is such a great guy. He's such a great dad, such a great player, such a great leader in the team. And this is, like I was saying, when you see Aaron Donald with his shirt off, you know it's going to be fun, right? Like, this
Aaron
is party.
Aaron Donald needs a
Look
shirt.
Look how happy he is.
Someone give him a shirt.
No, never give him a shirt. I'm speaking for all women everywhere. Never give him a shirt.
And you're
Erica,
speaking for Chris Brockman.
And me.
If you're going to have a man crush, have it on Aaron Donald.
Yes, yeah.
Have it on Aaron Donald. So he was so happy. And, you know, Les said he came in and hugged him. There's a great shot I have. It's my favorite picture that I got, which was, you know, Aaron and Les and Matthew Stafford, and they were all together, and I had just managed to get there right when, you know, they were all three together. And Aaron has this look on his face, and he had said to Les, like, thank you. Like, you changed my life, right? You changed my life. And Les is like, you changed mine too, right? I mean, come on. How could you ever, like, do this without an Aaron Donald on your team? He's just the best. He's just the best. So great, great, great day. And to be able to have it with your kids too, it's pretty great.
And then you told Les to go home and make the bed.
He's more of a dishes guy.
Yeah.
He's a real good dishes guy. Like, you know, the bed's not really his thing, but he does like doing the dishes. I'm sure Rich does too.
Oh yeah. It's great. Just as methodical. I'll give you a window into our relationship when we come back from this break. We're going to take a quick break with Kara Henderson-Snead. She's going to stay around to close out the third hour. More behind the scenes, don't you think, guys? I want to hear more stories about the parade. Since we'll always be on that side of the parade route and you'll be the one on the bus, it's good to get
those
stories.
Not necessarily. You never know.
And we have one more bottle of champagne to open.
Oh, all right, crack it, Christopher.
Thank God.
Crack it, Chris.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a
likelihood. So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Kara Henderson-Snead here on The Rich Eisen Show. Welcome back to all of you listening on the radio, those of you watching on Peacock. However you're taking in this Rich Eisen Show, thank you. A virtual mimosa to you on this Mimosa Friday. So happy to have you joining us here in any way that you can. Back to the parade.
I've been able to have at least one drink for every listener watcher out there over the last 2 weeks.
And as well,
that's my service to the community.
And as well, you should. You've been nary sober for a moment since you guys won. And I can say that. It's so funny since you guys won the Super Bowl.
I am just along for the ride, literally. Probably good that I'm not driving. No, but seriously, it's you do feel a part of it, and you know, you as a family member, you go through so much. You go through so much to get here. I mean, the year that I went back to NFL Network and went back as an executive, and then I left again. It was because I was like, okay, I don't know what's going to happen next. I mean, we started out 3-1. We ended up going 4-12. Does Les get fired? There's a very distinct possibility he could. I'm not, naive. I'm like, I cover football for a living. Like, a lot of 4-12 GMs get fired. And then they had the wherewithal to go and hire Sean. And so, you know, when you go through the roller coaster that is the NFL, and then you finally get to push it all the way to the top and sit there for a minute. You sit there and think about all those years and all of those things that took getting there. And it continues to, like, you process it and it washes over you more and more as you go.
What don't we know about Sean McVay?
Oh man, I love that human being so much. I'll never forget when Les came home and said, I really think we're going to hire the 30-year-old, right? Because it was at the point where it was like, people are like, they're interviewing a 30-year-old to be the head coach. And he's like, I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Come on. No. Well, I mean, I've got genes older than him, right? Like, genuinely, that old trope. So, but I went and he's like, you've got to come and meet him. And he's like, Marshall's going to be there. So Marshall Faulk, obviously, we're all very close with Marshall as well. And I was like, okay, wait a minute. If Marshall is giving this guy the thumbs up, I've been around Marshall enough to know that he's, you know, he does not suffer fools. He does not suffer people that you don't know what they're talking about. If he gives him the thumbs up. And I met Sean, and within 10 seconds, I just looked at Les, and it was like, I get it. He is this rare combination. It's not rare, it's unique. He is the unique combination of a people person who genuinely meets every single player in that organization where they are and tries to make them the best versions of themselves, not what he wants them to be, the best versions of themselves. So there's that. And he cares so deeply about each and every one of them. He's an emotionally, like, such an empathetic human being. And so you have that, and then you have the most brilliant football mind that you could ever talk to. Anytime I'm talking to him about football, I feel like I'm talking to somebody who's splitting the atom and I'm back in basic math. And I feel like I know a lot about football, but I mean, you get to talking to him and you're like, oh, this is rare. So all of us have met people who are really brilliant tacticians in football. They have a tendency to be a little bit more wonky and a little less people driven and very, mad professor types. He's got both things in spades. And so you just love the fact that he can do both things, which is so rare, and which is why our team has the personality and the success that they've had.
I can say this to you because you're a journalist. We've got a minute to a hard out. I feel it's really nice to say to you. I got a minute. So I want to hear in a minute, what are your thoughts on next year? Because obviously you can't share bedroom secrets, but I want to know what you think about what it looks like for this team.
Well, I think whatever people may have been thinking about before we won, when you win with a group of people like this, and you heard people say it at the parade, you heard Aaron Donald say it, if you can get this group of people back together, like without the pressure of having to go win a Super Bowl, but the possibility of it, I think it's a distinct possibility that you end up with this same group of people back together. I hope so.
Six.
I hope so.
You heard it here.
Run it back. Let's run it back.
Much more when we come back.